We shall now turn to the book of Psalms and Psalm 31, and we'll look generally at this psalm. It's called a Psalm of David. We see that in the title, and so we take it that it was written by King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The psalm describes many troubles that the psalmist went through. And in the midst of his troubles, he cries for deliverance. It's particularly interesting to notice verse 5. Into thine hands I commit my spirit. And then we remember that these words, of course, were the last words that our Lord Jesus quoted on the cross. Father, into thine hands I commit or commend my spirit. So that immediately tells us that this psalm is a messianic psalm. It speaks to us of the Lord Jesus and his sufferings. Indeed, in a sense, all the psalms are messianic. When we read this psalm, yes, we see troubles and troubles. David had his share of troubles. And yet the troubles seem to go beyond David's troubles. Why? Because David, of course, is a prophet. He's speaking, yes, from his own experience, but he's looking beyond himself to his son, David's son, who's David's Lord, to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. And this psalm is speaking then to us of the great King, the great David, the great Jesus, and his sufferings. We can see ourselves in the psalm, and it's right for us to see ourselves and to put into these words our own feelings, our own longings, our own strugglings. But at the same time, we mustn't just stop with ourselves. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great Messiah, the great Savior, the one who went through tremendous troubles for our sake. And in the midst of all his troubles, the Lord Jesus trusted in God. He trusted in God, and we are to trust in God. In a sense, we might think, well, he was God, and surely he could just claim his own divine nature to help him. But he wasn't allowed to do that. He was in a state of humiliation in this world. He had been in heaven with the Father, God Almighty, came into this world, and in this world he had to live a life like you and me, a life of faith, a life of obedience, a life of trial, a life of trusting, a life of victory over the temptations of sin and Satan. He's our great example as well as our sin bearer, our Savior who bore our sins in his own body on the tree, died for us to give us eternal life. Verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. In thee do I trust. That's what we've got to do. And when things are going wrong and when things are against us, in thee do I put my trust. When we're conscious of our sin, when we're aware of how we've gone astray, we've fallen, and yet, what do? In thee do I trust. When Satan comes and says, you're no use, you're finished, you're done, in thee do I put my trust. When Satan is looking to trample us underfoot and tell us we're not Christians, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Look to the Lord, trust in him, pray to him, commit yourself to him. This man, he trusted in God that he would deliver him. Let him save him, if he will. Remember how these words were spoken to Jesus on the cross. Yes, Jesus trusted. He put his trust in God, and God did deliver him. Let me never be ashamed. Again, we think of Jesus spat upon, wearing the purple robe and the crown of thorns, mocked and ridiculed and abused. Let me never be ashamed. And yet he passed through that deep valley of shame, but he emerged from it. And he rose triumphant, and he was exalted to God's right hand, and he has a name which is above every name. Let me never be ashamed. And he will never be ashamed, because he is victorious, the mighty, powerful, glorious Saviour, who humbled himself to the lowest, so that he might take us, who brought ourselves willingly into a low state, that he might lift us up from the mess to which we had brought ourselves, and make us sons and daughters of God with himself. In thee do I put my trust, deliver me in thy righteousness. I trust, Lord. Job, think of all that Job went through. The loss of his possessions, the loss of his family, the loss of his health. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Great words, aren't they? Doesn't matter what God does to me, I'm not going to be angry with God. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to spit in his face. I'm not going to blaspheme. Doesn't matter what God brings into my experience. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. These are great words to encourage us and to strengthen us. No, if we trust in him, we won't be ashamed, we won't be disappointed. People might say to us, where's your God? What good is your religion for you? Look what you're going through. Now, it might be true that for a little time there will be some shame upon us. But you can be sure of this. Our destiny is not shame. We're not going to remain in a state of being disgraced and mocked and ridiculed. We will rise. We will rise out of every trough. We will rise out of every dark valley. And we will be glorified with Christ. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Now, righteousness can be a bit threatening, can't it? God's justice, God's righteousness. And yet it's also very comforting for the child of God, threatening for the wicked. How can you and I deal with God's righteousness? There's only one way. We need him to impart, him to impute to us the righteousness of Christ. And if Christ's righteousness is reckoned to us, then God in his justice has to take us to heaven. Christ takes his perfect righteousness, gives it to us, so that our sins are forgiven, they're all blotted out, we are righteous with the righteousness of Christ, and then deliver me in thy righteousness. He is just, and the just shall live by faith. We are righteous because Christ gave us his righteousness. And therefore the righteousness of God is a great comfort to us. The gifted, imputed righteousness. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Verse 2, bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defence to save me. I'm sure at times you've been praying and God seems very far away. Sometimes you pray and you wonder, is there any point in praying? And it's as it were Satan whispering in your ear, it's no use, it's no use. God's not listening. There's nobody listening. But God is listening. And God does hear. Bow down thine ear to me, O Lord. Give ear unto my words, O Lord, my meditation way. Hear my loud cry, my King, my God. for I to thee will pray. Lord, bend your ear down to hear my prayer. Christ, it seemed, had to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It seemed that God was not hearing, and yet God was hearing, and God was delivering. Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Don't leave me, but deliver me, my strong rock. Remember David and Goliath? How could he face Goliath? God was his strong rock. He trusted in God, and through God he could face it. Many of the commentators link this psalm to the time when David was betrayed by the men of Keilah. Remember how the Philistines attacked Keilah, and David went and delivered Keilah out of the hands of the Philistine armies. And then Saul thought he would be able to capture David in Keilah. And David asked God, will the men of Keilah deliver me up to Saul? And God said, yes, they will. They'll betray you. That was hard for David. When you do a good deed to people and they let you down, that's hard. There was David. And he had saved Keilah, and the men of Keilah treated him badly. Deliver me speedily. Thou art my strong rock. Thou art my house of defense. David thought if he went into the city of Keilah with its great stone walls that he would be safe there, but no. But when he left Keilah, he found a stronger city. God is my city. God is my walled castle. God will defend me. Thou art my strong rock and my house of defense. Run to him and you're safe there. Put your trust in him and there you're secure. Verse 3. For thou art my rock and fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Lead me and guide me. It's vital, isn't it? Show me thy way. Lead me in the big decisions of life. Lead me in the little decisions. Lead me daily, hourly, moment by moment. Lead me, Lord, and guide me. Take over the reins of my life. Lord, direct me. I don't know the right way to go. I will make the wrong decisions. Lord, show me your way. Guide me. It's great to ask the Lord to guide. He's got the wisdom. He knows where this step will lead. We don't know. We take a step and another step and another step, and maybe we're going on the wrong road and we're going somewhere where there's trouble. But if the Lord leads us, then we can take step after step after step, and we're safe. Lead me, Lord. Are you willing for God to lead you? Are you willing for him to take over your life? Are you willing to give him your heart? Verse 4. Pour me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Thinking of Jesus, remember all the nets and the traps and the snares that people laid for him. One day they came to him and they said, we know you're a great teacher and you're such a good man and you don't fear anyone. Is it right to give tribute to Caesar or not? Is it right to pay taxes to the Romans? If he said it was right, then he would look bad in the eyes of the Jews. If he said it was wrong, then they would tell the Romans and he would get arrested. They had set a trap for him. You remember how the Lord delivered Jesus, how God gave to him the wisdom. Show me the tribute money. And they showed him a penny. Denarius, a coin. And he said, whose face is on the coin? And they said, Caesar's. Well, I'll give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. The amazing wisdom. On another occasion, they came to him on the question of divorce. Is it right for a man to put away his wife for any reason, on some little cause? And there were great disputes among the Jews over divorce, how strict it should be. And it's a very complicated question, even today. But you remember how Jesus avoided the traps that they were setting, took them back to the scriptures, and said, God at the beginning made them male and female. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh, and whom God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And we could go on with many other examples. The nets, the traps, and it's not just Jesus that had nets and traps set for him. You and I, Satan is always setting traps for us. And they're sometimes very difficult to avoid. Lord, deliver me. And if God delivers us, we'll see the trap and we'll be able to avoid it. God is our strength. Verse 5, into thine hands I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Christ, Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit. Stephen, God's children down through the centuries, when they come to the end of their lives so often, Father, into thine hands I commit my spirit. But it's not just at the end of our life that we're to commit our spirit to God. We are to give our hearts, our spirits to God each day, to trust in the Lord with all our heart, giving ourselves to him. To him who is the great Redeemer. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. The God of truth who cannot lie. His promises are worth believing. Take what he says and take it to heart. The God of truth. You can trust him. Of course you can trust him. Is there one lie in the scriptures? No. The scriptures cannot be broken. God of truth, commit yourself to him and you'll never perish. Are you committing yourself to him and trusting in him? Verse 6, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. Lying vanities. These terms are used for idols and false religions. How many people that there are, and they regard lying vanities, false religions. But for us, we're not going to follow false religions. No, I trust in the Lord. I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust in the God of Scripture. I will not trust the ideas of man, and I will not follow the cults, and I will not follow false religions. I have the Bible, and I will follow God's word, and I will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble, thou hast known my soul in adversity. We are to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Satan wants to keep you unhappy and sad and sorrowful and miserable and mourning and grumbling, discontent. Rejoice in the Lord. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength, be your encouragement, be optimistic as you put your trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice because God is merciful. The Lord Jesus died on the cross for sinners. Thou hast considered my trouble, and thou hast known my soul in the adversities and troubles through which it goes. Verse 8, thou hast not shut me up unto the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Remember, we're in a war. Satan's out to get us. He's trying to capture us and trap us and lead us away captive. But God sets our feet in a large place. He gives us liberty. He sets us free. Lord, thou hast not shut me up in the hand of the enemy. We see others shut up in the hand of the enemy. The drunkard and the drug addict and the gambler and the prostitute and the people who are committed to all these kinds of sins, shut up into the hand of the enemy. But thou hast set my feet in a large room. Lord, I trust in you. And you will guide me and direct me and lead me forward and deliver me from all these dangerous situations. Verse 9, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. In this world we do have our griefs, don't we? We have griefs in our families and griefs in our place of work maybe, and griefs with regard to our health. All kinds of griefs and sorrows. Sometimes maybe we feel that it's one grief after another and one trouble following the next. My life is spent with grief, my years with sighing and groaning, my strength fails. We see here the Lord Jesus Christ too, don't we? His life spent with grief, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. His strength failing, his bones consumed, my bones all out of joint to part. He felt that his very bones were being pulled apart one from another. Grief and trouble. Verse 11, I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbours, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. Think of Christ, all the enemies he had. But notice these words, but especially my neighbours. Think of his disciples. They that did see me without fled from me. They all forsook him and fled. Even Peter denied Jesus with oaths and curses. I was a reproach. They mocked me. The song of vile drunkards. They mocked me. They abused me. And even my neighbors. Even those that sat at table with me lifted up their heel against me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. A broken vessel. When you break a bowl or a cup, what do you do? Do you keep it? Do you try and glue it together again? No. It's no use. Once it's broken, that's it. You throw it in the bin. You might have a sense of grief and sorrow, but well, that's it. It's gone and you soon forget it. And here's Christ saying, I'm like a broken vessel. I'm forgotten. Do this in remembrance of me. Why did he say, do this in remembrance of me? Because we're so apt to forget him. We remember all sorts of things and we forget Christ. Don't let Christ be as a broken pot, as somebody who's died a few years ago. And with the passing years, they're gone. We think of people that we've known a few years ago in the church here who've died. Sometimes they seldom come before our minds. For a year or two we feel quite raw, and we feel quite sad, and we miss them so much. But then as the years pass, as they say, time is a great healer, and time is a great forgetter. My life spent with grief, my years with sighing, I was a reproach among my neighbours, forgotten as a dead man out of mind. For I have heard the slander, verse 13, of many. Fear was on every side, whilst they took counsel against me. They devised to take away my life. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the council met together, taking counsel. Herod and Pontius Pilate made friends as they condemn Christ. Why rage the heathen on vain things? Why do the people mind? Kings of the earth to set themselves, and princes are combined to plot against the Lord and his anointed. Plotting. I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. These words give us an insight into Christ's feelings. Sometimes when we read the gospel, we're just conscious of the objective story, and we fail to realize how Christ was a true human being, had true humanity. He heard the slander. He felt it in his heart. He was conscious of fears. He was tormented by Satan. He was aware of people plotting against him. Maybe you've been in situations where you felt very much alone, and you feel people are talking about you, talking to one another about you. It can be very hard, very difficult. And there we have Christ. I have heard the slander of many. But, verse 14, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My God, my God. He claimed God to be his. I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. When everybody is against us, what do we do? When everything is against us, what do? When we're downcast and troubled and tormented and miserable and grief on every side, what do? I trusted in thee, O God. Thou art my God. God loves us to say that and to mean it. Thou art my God. My Lord. And my God. Verse 15. My times are in thine hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies, from them that persecute me. Christ was very conscious that his times were in God's hands. The hour has come. The hour of darkness. And the time of suffering. And the time of death. He spoke about these things. My times are in thine hand. I wonder, is it like that with you? Lord, my times are in thine hand. You know the situation. You know the day of deliverance. We feel it hard to be patient. We struggle to be long-suffering. But if we could claim this by faith, my time is in thine hand. One day, God's going to help me through. God knows the day. He knows the hour. And when God's time comes, we'll be delivered. When God's time comes, this problem will be overcome. When God's time comes, healing will come. When God's time comes, assurance and peace. My times are in thine hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies, from them that persecute me. We trust in God for his time, his success, his promotion, whatever it is. Wondering about marriage, wondering about a job, wondering about a house, wondering about children, about the birth of children, and so on. My times are in thine hand. Whatever it is that's a concern to us, God has the timing. Verse 16, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. God's face shining. God's face smiling. Sometimes God's face seems very angry. We think of Jesus. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God's face turned away. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Maybe you feel God's hand upon you in chastisement and in trouble. And it seems that God's face is angry. But no, God loves his people. Make thy face to shine. Make me see thy smile. Turn away thine anger. Favour me, O Lord. Be gracious to me. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Verse 17, let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. We look to God. God will vindicate us. And God vindicated his Son, who humbled himself down to death. The Lord lifted him and gave him a name which is above every name, a throne at his own right hand. And so all those who trust in Christ. Let the lying lips, verse 18, be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Let lying lips be put to silence, and every liar will be put to silence. And all those who speak lies against us, and those who lied against Christ, false witnesses, they gathered round one after another, saying all sorts of things that were false. But the day is coming when the truth will prevail. Verse 19 is a kind of change in the psalm. It's thanksgiving to God for deliverance. The first 18 verses are the struggles and so on. Then verse 19, deliverance. How great is thy goodness. How good thou art. Goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. Goodness laid up for those that fear thee and for those who trust in thee. Verse 20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. It's good to have a hiding place. Christ is our hiding place. Verse 21, blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvellous kindness in a strong city. Praise to God, he has delivered me, he's given me a strong city. He's given me a castle to defend me from my enemies. Verse 22, I said in my haste, I am cut off from thine eyes. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Cut off from thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried to thee. The Lord Jesus delivered, and all those who trust in him will be delivered. Oh, love the Lord, all ye saints. Love him. Love him with all your heart. He's worth loving. Love him and trust in him. For the Lord preserveth the faithful. The Lord looks after those who trust in him. And plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Don't be a proud doer, but a humble Christian trusting in the Lord. And then the last verse of the chapter, a great verse. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Do you hope in yourself? Do you hope in people? Do you hope in money? Do you hope in the future? What do you hope in? Hope in the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Your heart feels weak. It feels troubled and anxious and concerned. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Not courage in yourself, but courageous in God. Trust in the Lord. Cast yourself upon Christ. Depend upon him, and you will be strong. I think of somebody I know very well, and this verse was the verse that was blessed in him, to find peace with God. One day, the singing of the last verses of this psalm, and particularly these words, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. He had been seeking the Lord for some time, and now peace, as he put his trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding.